look at the thing of why is it important that we do this? Gather together in different places across the week, in different homes, and also on a Sunday in a congregation. Why is it important that we are growing in fellowship? Why does that help my spiritual, personal spiritual growth? Why is that important? Some of you have just come into the church recently. Some of you have just been saved recently. Some of you have just been baptized recently. Some of you have been around for so long, you don't even talk about the years that you've been here and how many sermons you've heard. But it's important that all of us keep on the boil the importance of these things. Knowing God, having faith that's growing, and being in fellowship together. Now, fellowship's an old word, isn't it? It's a very old word. It really means to share all things together that you have. To share in what Christ has done. Christ has come and he's done this in my life. He's delivered this to me. And I want to share that with those who've always also had that experience. And sometimes it's been a challenge when a believer is saying, hey, I don't know if I need everybody else. I just need Jesus. Sometimes it's been a challenge to us to say, actually, how important is this in my life? Can't I just have fellowship with Jesus? And people are really difficult. They're really complicated. I don't know if I need that in my life. I want to tell you right up front that fellowship matters. Right up front. That the Bible is going to, we're going to go through today, the Bible puts a massive emphasis in this from Genesis to Revelation. The fellowship not only with Christ, but with one another. Jesus knows how difficult people are. He understands that. He understands our challenges, our insecurities, the different things that we can do to one another. He understands that. Beanie said he left his throne room to make a way so that we could actually be together with him and together with one another. But fellowship matters right up front, just in case you fall asleep during the message. I'm trying to make sure that does not happen. But you know, strong fellowship actually delivers something to our life that is incredibly important. Because within a community, spiritual growth happens. Within an environment like this, we can see and hear and know what is happening around us. You are live pictures to one another of what God is doing. We engage in meaningful relationships, not superficial ones, which we have so many times around us in the world. We get to deepen our love and share burdens of what's going on in one another's lives and do it in a way that doesn't just go, oh, that's sad, I'll sort of carry that with you, but actually take it to God together. We get to understand that we can cultivate a deeper understanding of our very purpose. When you're feeling down, you can look at someone who's up and go, man, that's right, I remember where I'm meant to be walking and what I'm called to, and they can remind you. The community also provides an amazing support system. If you talk to any psychologist, they will be asking someone who's struggling with isolation, depression, and different thoughts about themselves. They'll say, okay, how do you value yourself? They'll talk about how do you value others, and what community are you a part of? Because any psychologist knows, if you aren't a part of a community, then your growth is going to be stunted. Interesting, eh? So the very basics, God put this all in the fabric of everything that we've ever needed as humans. Our spiritual journey are enriched, there's a word, isn't it? Enriched by the reality that we get to share experiences and have a collective understanding of our worship. That's why as that sound went up in worship and as it gathered momentum, there's something that overtakes us. It's not emotion. It's the sense of, I am part of a collective here. I've been brought together for this moment to be able to worship. So right up front, fellowship matters. It's actually the fruit of growing in faith. As you grow in faith, we actually can grow in fellowship. How cool is that? It's actually a sign that my faith in God is growing. I have now understood I am a part of God's created reality. I am not an accident. I am not here meaninglessly floating around. I am His creation, made for His purpose. And I bear His character. And therefore, I am part of His wider community. You know, if you look at a field or an orchard, how do you know that a field or an orchard, you know, trees, vines, whatever, is fruitful? You don't look at the ground, you look at the fruit, right? You look at what's in the field. And that's what God does. He plants us in a way that is quite amazing. And as I was reading about this in Psalm 92, I was reminded it says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree. I've got a couple of palm trees over my fence. They never cease to flourish. I'm constantly having to receive branches from my neighbors and seeds. I may have some small palm trees growing shortly. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Cedar is an amazing timber. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. Amen, someone said. They are ever full of sap and green. Sap is not a Gen Z word. It just means they're full of life, okay? To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, that there is no unrighteousness in him. It's a simple verse that says when you are planted in the place that you are meant to be among others, that you are going to grow strong. You're going to be full of life. And you are going to be fruitful into old age. Amen? The world's looking for the magic pill that makes this possible. And you have the God of the universe who's saying, you can be my creation. You can carry my character, the sappiness, the full life of God. And you can be alongside of others bearing fruit, saying, this field is fruitful. When all around the world, our 6 o'clock news or 7 o'clock news or 4:30 news, now it is, it used to be just 6 o'clock when I was younger, now it's every news, is full of all the problems and then a story about a panda. It's like, is that really what we're looking for good news? There's something deeper. There's something more. Yeah, I want to be planted somewhere. I want to belong somewhere. I want to know that I represent a fruitful field. And God has put me in that place. So that's what community looks like from God's perspective. That as we are born into faith, reborn by the Spirit of God into the faith that God has, no longer living in fear and slavery, we are now those who know I am God's. I am full of his character and I am now part of his community. Now God, help me to engage. And we engage powerfully when we are fruitful because our fruit, love, joy, patience, self-control, endurance, all of those things are how we engage one another. That's how the Jesus in me engages the Jesus in you. And it helps me because then you don't have to engage the other part of me or the other way that I might live. You engage Jesus, the fruit of how he is. So I can look across the room this morning and I can say, oh, there's Tony who's having great endurance. That's the fruit of his life. Wow, that encourages me. I'm going to say, that person's just overflowing with love. Wow, that encourages me. It's the fruit of their life. It's the fruit of what Jesus has done that I can see. And you can see it in people even when they're going through really tough stuff or the best stuff. What is it that God's doing in their life? What is the fruit? That's how we engage in fellowship together. But as I started to look at this more deeply, And God was speaking to me about this. It's like, yes, we're gathered and we've come, as Trina said this morning, there's a call of God and we've come together this morning. I've done what is honorable. I've come together. I'm coming to God to worship. How many thought that this morning? I'm coming to church to worship. Man, even for the oldest in the room who knows the most, you're going to get something out of this morning. God started talking to me during the week and he said, it's not just that. You come to me as I've called, which I want you to because I don't want this to be pressure from me. It's not an obligation to God. This is a free choice. But he says, I'm actually, this is a big secret, okay? Before we start, I heard God say to me, I'm assembling you. I'm actually gathering you to me. I know you think you're coming to me, but I'm actually coming and drawing you to me. To gather in the Hebrew means to collect, to glean, which means clean, make pure, and then to assemble, ready for the apportionment of what he's going to do and the appointment that he has with us. God made an appointment with you this morning. I've heard preachers say that at the end of the message when they're wanting to see people saved, but man, I heard God just say, I've been doing this all the time. This is what I do. I gather people together. to myself. I collect them as a harvest, my people, and I bring them together, and I want them to be assembled in a way that's ready for what I'm going to do. And I'm going to increase their spiritual strength, and it's going to come through the community of faith. I want to put them together. I want them to feel the reality of what I'm doing in each individual, pouring out to one another, so that they know that this is where strength comes from. It ministers through them. So we may think we're gathering to worship God, but not even realize we are actually being gathered together by God. That your permission was, I'm coming, and his reality was, I know you were. And this is wonderful. But do you know what that changes? It changes how we engage this community. Because suddenly, it's not an attendance on our determination. It's actually our response to his determination. He said, I'm gathering you. Resistance is useless. I am going to love you into the place where you are here. But what that does for me is I realize, man, I might be different to some people who've been coming to church all these years. And I really want to let them know. You think you've been coming to God, and I think I was gathered by God here. So you sort of feel like you've got more of a choice than me. God has actually gathered me because he's really purposeful. He knows where I'm living, what I'm doing. He knows where I'm working. He knows what I've been up to this week. And he knows that this is an appointment. And he's assembling his people, his army, his bride. And he's like, I've got plans for you. Do you want to know them? And so that's why we do what we're doing this morning. We sing about the praise of God. We sing about the reality of what he's doing. But there was a point in time where this was just starting out in Acts. The book of Acts is the start of the church, how Jesus started to release things through his church to be able to live out what it was that he'd called them to on the earth. And it was very exciting because now it was released to all nations. It had been largely the people of promise had been the Israel nation. Now it was being spread to all nations. There were things that were meant to have always been together that were now coming together. I was thinking of things that just I couldn't imagine being apart. You know, as I grew up, who would have thought of putting jam and cream together on a scone? Who would have thought of that? And yet, they belong together. It's four amens. Excellent. So, who would have thought, you know? Fish and chips, who put them together? They always belong together. They always should be together. No one should ever take them apart, right? Well, God just joined together, let no man take apart. Thank you, Keith. He's made it scriptural. What else? Australia and the little ashes. Oh, I better not say that one. It's too close to home. I was going to say Gavin and gourmet meals, but I will say Gavin Gale, all right? But God and his people were always meant to be together. And when you see God and his people together, it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not, you see something that is a mystery so powerful, you're like, that should always be together. It's what God's made it to be. It's exciting, it's powerful, it's what God has always done. So in Acts, we start to see the people of God coming together. And in Acts 2:42, it says they were gathered together in one place. So gathered, collected, brought together. Now understanding that they're apportioned, they're ready. The Holy Spirit's been poured out upon them. The Holy Spirit is the agent of change. The Holy Spirit is the one who transforms them. The Holy Spirit who makes them a witness, gives them strength, and they go out. And then stuff starts to happen. And a lame guy gets healed. And then for the next two chapters, the church finds out what it was like to walk like Jesus. And the same people who were oppressing Jesus come at them with the same sort of claims and challenges. And they realize, hey, this stuff's awesome, but we need what Jesus had. We need the exact reality, Jesus, of what you're giving us. And so in Acts 4, 26 to 37, we see them turn to God in prayer to increase their faith. And they, this is the declaration of the people at that time. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the anointed. They're talking about Jesus. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus. They were gathered against all of those who should have known better, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Everyone was against him. And the first church is like, Jesus, only you know what this is like. When we're trying to bring the good news, when we're seeing miracles, when we're seeing standing in who we are, finally gathered together, seeing God, you break out, and now we've got this misunderstanding. And it says that along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants, this is how the church was praying, to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. Signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, they're standing there, they're praying this, Jesus, we get what you were going through now. Now we understand. We're walking with the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not blind. We're seeing things happen. But now we're going to pray like you prayed. And when they had prayed, the place in where they were standing or gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. There was something that was happening. Oh, now we understand. Jesus began to do and teach. All that Jesus began to do and teach, he's now extended to us and said, now go and fill the whole earth as a community of faith, living together, gathering together regularly, strengthening one another, praying together in a way that says, Jesus, we understand that all the authorities of the world are actually just going to do whatever they plan to do against your people. But what we're going to do is pray to you for the same reality that you had, that you would continue to do what you're going to do through us and that you would give us great boldness. What was the result? Growing fellowship. This is the result after the place was shaken. Now, the full number of those who believed, the full number, no one left out. The full number, everybody in the house and online, were in one heart and soul. That is remarkable. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. You see, there was a sharing going on. There was a fellowship that was happening among them. This wasn't a requirement. This was a fellowship. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as he had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called the apostle, also called by the apostle Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, native of Cyprus, said, sold a field and that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. There was extraordinary things happening in this sharing. They were willing to share all things. The gifts they had, the stuff they had, the land they had, because it wasn't about making a commune. It was about the reality that they were a community of faith flowing with what God had given them. And they realized everything's been given by God. Everything's come from him. Everything we have, everything we are, and even when threats are breathed against us, we're just going to go to the source, to the origin. Just like Jesus stood in front of 5,000 people and said, Father, I've got 2 loaves and 2 fish, but you know what you can do with this. They're suddenly like the people of God are going, this is all we've got. We know you've stood in this place. We know this is coming against you. You've walked this path in front of us, God. We want what you had. And he delivers boldness. Look at the things that come. Faith-filled fellowship comes with great boldness, great unity, great power, great grace, great encouragement. Man, I want to go to church. I want to stand with believers. I want to stand in the place that makes us strong. If that's what's coming, and it's not a little club down the road waiting for heaven, but it's actually eyes wide open community that's like, we're going to see signs and wonders happening by the sovereign hand of God. People will be saved. People will be healed. People will be delivered. And then people aren't going to like it. And I'm just going to go to Jesus and say, well, it's not about me anyway. It's about you. Suddenly, there's a change. Shaking happens. It's not about what I am anyway. It's about who you are. It's about who I am in you, which Benny spoke so powerfully about last week. When we're in Christ, he will be in you. He floods through you. Isn't this good news? Are you getting this, or do I need to slow down? We're sharing all things that are in Christ together. Now, I think I can sell that, right? I think that's pretty cool. Everybody's like, yeah, that'd be great. When I'm lacking, I get filled up. When I've got more than enough, I can pour out. What a joyful thing that God does on me. But it gets even better. It gets even stronger, what God is wanting to say. When we come together and we are sharing all of these things, we are grateful in our remembrance and our reliance on God. Suddenly it's like remembrance on God and reliance. When we come together in any of these meetings, you should see these things happening. That we are grateful. That we come before God and we're like, this is who we worship. This is why I live. This is what I'm doing. And reliance is restored. Man, I started relying on myself. I started relying on my job. I started relying on this. I started relying. And all of those were going to fail me and I knew it. Oh, that's right. I'm in church now. I rely on you. I'm part of a community of faith. What was I thinking? That was an old way of living. I don't rely on that. Suddenly we're remembering and rejoicing. We're praising God, giving our praise and our thanksgiving to the one who it's due. We're remembering God's promises. Oh, that's right. He did say, even when I'm old, I can be fruitful. Someone heard that this morning. And for young people, start now because young trees grow old. Anyway. Remember the sacrifice and the resurrection. As we come around this table afterwards and we get to share in something that is uniquely Christian. We come around the table and we get to say, I remember the sacrifice you made. But I give testimony to your resurrection life by the fact that I've been born again. You were the first fruit. And now, Jesus, I am one of your fruitful trees in the field saying, my life is now yours. It's eternal. It bears fruit. It's planted in your house. You get to respond as a royal priesthood. You're actually called by the king. He's like, you're my priesthood. You're the ones who will operate in the gifts and the works of ministry. You're the ones who will bear the spiritual gifts that I'm going to give you to be able to supply others' needs. You're fruitful, which tells them you're God's and they can worship me, but you're also given gifts which are completely for other people, not you. You're a royal priesthood. Every Sunday, you are assembled. You are brought together by God, ready for active service in His will. This is amazing, isn't it? It's a big difference. Big difference from attendance. Assembly. Man, I'm coming with purpose. God, what do we got today? What are you giving me today? I don't even know what gift you're going to give me. And then who am I going to need it for? It's a constant relationship. We reflect His greatness and His purpose to others. Just standing in this room and worshiping, people can look around with their eyes open and go, man, there's another image bearer of God who's growing in His likeness, carrying His character, and the purpose of God reflects to me, and I'm like, yes, that's why I worship you. I can see it in real people, in real lives, in real journeys, in real stories. We bear testimony to what God's doing. So where is this written? Well, in the Bible, there is a lot written about what happens when we increase, when we dig in, when we lift up together what God is saying, when we take others in to our midst, when we open the circle, and when we spread out to see His gospel relate. That's Isaiah 54. We start to see that an assembled people are different. We are not just adopted in, which is amazing. We're not just added to a family of faith. We're not just added in and known by the living God and others around us, which makes us more responsive to Him. We're not just collected. We actually are assembled as His people. We're put together. God's intentional. He's not vague. He's not a generalist. He is specific. He puts us together. He is aligning us to His will and causing us to advance from that place. Together. The New Testament church was mobilized by God Himself. He'll pull by the Holy Spirit and convict and shovel. So you might feel this morning, man, I was going through worship, Trina was saying that stuff. That was adjusting all sorts of stuff. I mean, why was He doing that? So we can walk together. He cares about us together. Much of Scripture is written to the whole, more than the individual. It's just in our context in the West, everything's filtered through individualism. And so we sort of take everything as if it's my personal journey. It's written to the whole people of God, which is not diminishing of what God's calling you to do. It just means it's a part of all that he's calling you to do. We're going to go through is, where does he call us to assemble in prayer? In Ephesians, these are like highlights of what you should see happening in the community of faith as we are assembled. We are assembled in prayer. Do you notice the difference? Not assembled to pray, assembled in prayer. When we come together, when we pray, we are brought together. It's like the tuning of God, because it's the most selfless thing you can do, pray. You know, you can open up your life and just say, hey, God, what do you want to do through me? Where does it talk about this? Well, in Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, I'm just going to read some scripture. Let it wash over you. Let it burn in you. Let God remind you. It says in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. For this reason, that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Where did they learn this? Acts. They learned that this was how we pray. There's got to be strength come. I'm praying for you. You're praying for me. There is never a moment, there should never be a moment in our lives where someone's not praying for us. It's not dependent on me. It's dependent on him. It's dependent on what God's doing through others. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Next time you're praying, next time you see prayer, think this. This is what's happening. As we come together for this reason, we are wanting to see people walking in the fullness of God, being filled with the love of God, the pouring in of the depth of understanding of who he is, no matter what circumstances they're going through, that God knows how to bring that. We are assembled in prayer. And when we come together in that heart, not just making hopeful requests, but actually feeling the filling of God, of faith, then we pray differently, don't we? When we come to prayer, look around the room. Pray for people who are in the room. Don't make it ethereal. God, I wonder what we're praying for. These people, right in front of you, your family. Start there. Let it overflow. Let you be strengthened. And then overflow with prayers for nations and governments and challenges and situations, and let God shake the things that need to be shaken. We're assembled in prayer. We are assembled to worship. Listen to what Hebrews 10 says. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way. New and living way. I don't know if you know, but there's an expressway that just opened up, and I can now drive to church a different way from where I live down south. I can drive and I can turn off on Majors Road and I can drive down here. It's a new way. But I forgot and I took the old way this morning. And I literally just said about to Isaiah, we're going to take the new way this morning. I still went the old way. And I felt like God say, Ben, please let everybody know, don't take the old way. By the new and living way. We can, old habits die hard, friends. We got to be reminded the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. Once and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. This word faith comes up a lot. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. This is talking to all. Let us. There's no me theology here. Let us. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. It's not on your faithfulness, it's on his faithfulness. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Man, there's a few things going on here. I'm like, let us draw near so we don't drift. Let us hold unswervingly to what we profess. I want to remind people of what they've professed when they were in the last prayer meeting or the last meeting. I heard from them and I was downstairs in coffee and they said, God is awesome. He's doing all these things. He's shaking everything. And then the next week they're like, I'm going through all this stuff. Well, God hasn't changed. Thanks for being here this week when it's tough so I can remind you of what you said last week, which you were professing and I'm professing back to you. Do you know how many preachers preach a message and they've either gone through it that week or they'll be going through it next week? Every time. Just get used to it. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Man, what that person looks like they're struggling. God, what is it that you want to do to stir them on? Consider, God, what is it that you want to do? Let us not give up meeting together. How many times do you not feel like coming to meet together? And the enemy's like, just stay home. It'll be fine. You know, your attendance isn't that important. You know, forget about that assembly stuff. There's no appointment. Don't worry about it. No, this is an appointment with God. This is an appointment with his people. I don't know what he wants to do. I'm usable, available. I'm ready. I'm going. Throw yourself up on your feet and let your spirit catch up. We are assembled to truth. You will hear the truth of the Bible. You will hear a lot of scripture while we're standing here today. You'll hear it through the words that we're singing. You'll hear it through the things that we're preaching and what we're saying because scripture is powerful. In 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, Timothy was a young man growing in the faith. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learnt it. We've got to be able to look around and go, I learned that from someone. I'm considering how their life's going, and I know I can keep on that trajectory. I've heard things that are true. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed or is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And then he goes on to say, now Timothy, that's probably what you've been experiencing. Paul's talking to Timothy. That's probably what he's been experiencing from Paul. Someone who's walking ahead of him and Timothy wants to go past, and Paul wants Timothy to go past him. And he says, you know, you've probably been feeling all of this. You know, other people are going out and doing whatever they want in the world. They've lost their faith. They've gone out. But you are staying here with me, watching my life, and I'm reminding you to do that, and I'm reminding you that the scriptures are faithful. I'm reminding you that this is what you've learned, and now I'm telling you, go and do this yourself. It says in verse 1 of chapter 4, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Teaching actually means to speak it out and then to walk alongside. That's what rabbinic teaching was like. You walked it out until they were walking it out on their own. That's what Paul was talking about to Timothy. But isn't it amazing? He says, you are learning this from me. Now go and do it. So it's not like it's an apprenticeship, right? It's not like wait till you've gone 10 years and once you've got, you know, a PhD in teaching and alertness. Then we go on. It's like, start doing this as we go. Learn. Walk towards it. Then we can correct and move and shape and those sort of things. I had a little quote back further, which was from Alexander Strauch. And he says, learning is not about filling your bucket. Coming here today and going, how full can I get my bucket? How full can I get my bucket of knowledge? Because that's what the world does. When I've got a full bucket of knowledge, then I'll be a big deal. It's about lighting a fire. That's what he says. Learning is about lighting a fire. Let's get this started. Let's get it moving. Let's get a desire in you that's going to get you staying close to Jesus and walking in the fullness of what he's given you. We assemble to truth because it's powerful and we both receive it and we get to deliver it. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians says, so that we can build one another up. Amen. Assembled to remember. We are assembled to be able to come around the table with a little cup of juice and a little biscuit and say, we understand, we have seen the power of your sacrifice, Jesus, and the resurrection. And Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians, he says, for I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. So we encourage one another. We receive it. I've received this, but I'm also delivering it to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You proclaim that God died through Jesus, died for you and was raised, and now you have died and been raised. You are a new creation. So every time we do this, we're saying to the enemy, in your face, we are not accepting your plan. We're reminding you of your future, and now we're walking in the faith that God has for us. Every time you take that cup, for your family, for your future, you are saying something that declares what God is wanting you to do. And we remember. Remember, we come back together. We are put back together. Our thoughts are put back together in the right order. And we are able to respond. There's so many good things. I'm coming to the end here. We are also assembled to build each other up. In Romans 12, 3-9, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, this is Paul, not me, so blame him, all right? Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. God embraces the humble, he opposes the proud, right? So it's like, you know, how many people am I going to get to today? Well, you don't know. God knows. And who is he going to get you to? Your favorite cohort? Your three favorites? Right? No. What does God want me to do? I'm in an appointment with him, and then he's going to appoint things for me to do today. He's going to appoint people. He's going to give me words. He's going to give me the reality of what he's doing. Sometimes he'll give you words before the day. Sometimes he'll give them, and he'll just say, open your mouth. But it goes on to say, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Wow. That's a really big preach, that line. But anyway, we have different gifts according to the grace that God has given us. If the gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is lead, then do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Wow. That's how we do that. So you're here, appointed by God, and now apportioned by God the giftings that are needed. And you might go, yeah, well, I'm sort of the prophetic one, so I'm just going to go with that. No, God's not just saying, he's saying you have something in an apportionment of faith. You might have a greater level of that. That might be a primary for you. But he's saying actually together we're to grow in all of them. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 12. He's like, grow in everything. Seek everything. You know, that might, teaching or something might not be your primary, but you know what? Other things you can grow in, because we're building one another up in these things. Building one another up to what God has for us. And we are letting our love be genuine, abhorring what is evil, and holding fast to what is good. You are assembled to build one another up. Get together, build one another up in the faith with the gifts that God's given. Not with blessed thoughts, with the gifts that God's given. All right, we're nearly home. We are assembled to go. We are chosen to be here, so therefore we're sent from here. If God knows where he's brought us together, he knows why he's brought us together and what he wants to do with us in this room, just as we go downstairs, as we come around the table, as we pray, and then as we go beyond the room. That's what we're here to understand. He has an appointed mission. Go in him as his restored people who know his mercy. We're not out there going, we're awesome. We're out there going, he's awesome. He's awesome. He's done this. His mercy has brought me to this place. His mercy has restored me. His mercy can restore you. In 1 Peter 2, it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his possession. That sounds like collected, doesn't it? You are mine. bought with a price, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one whom he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You see how it's missional? So that you may proclaim. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Man, I've received mercy from God. People are living under punishment. They're living under the wrath of bosses and the world and all of this stuff. And you're carrying mercy. You're carrying the mercy of God that makes you one of his. You're no longer a slave. You're a son and daughter to God. That is amazing. And sometimes it gets diminished. So what you'll see in a church gathering is an assembly of sons and daughters who know who they are and who know the mercy that has saved them. They are given a global mission. Go for him. We're not just going in him, we're going for him to resound the good news to all the earth. Mark 16:18 says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Very simple, very clear, because I think that's what we need. We'd do something else with that if it was any more expensive. But does he really? No, it's pretty blunt. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. What you've received, release. There is a plan, friends, for the fullness of time, and it looks like this. Because we're going to go with him one day. We're going to be received by him. We're going to be with him for eternity. We want everyone who can be to be with him, to know this truth, to know why we gather, to know there will be a great gathering. There's a grand plan. And this is John speaking of what he saw. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Wow. His people with their God. And I heard a loud voice on the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. That's the grand plan. That's what we're a part of.